back-to-school shopping to do, then you should make Macy's your first stop. Because Macy's has back-to-school styles from brands like Nike and Jordan, must-have denim from Levi's and Good American. And now, Macy's has Abercrombie Kids, too. It's all in one place, all at great prices. And here's another reason to come in. If you're already at Macy's and you saved so much, you could stop by the fragrance counter and pick up something for yourself, too. The best back-to-school styles are here now at Macy's.
AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com present the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital.
Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It is 8:06. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Wednesday, the 13th of August. Cameron Eisenberg's producing. Thank you for being with us this morning. Here's what we're going to do today. First part of the show, Hood River County Emergency Management Director Charles Young is here. We're going to talk about they've got an event coming up on a Wednesday. I'm sorry, Thursday, tomorrow, at Slurra Brewing in Parkdale. Talk about Upper Hood River Valley preparedness for wildfires. So we'll talk about that, maybe some of the unique things they have to worry about in the Upper Valley. Second half of the program, Darren Ryan, Hood River County Health Department, is going to join us. So we'll talk about probably getting back to school and what your kids should be getting and what you need to think about heading into the 2025-26 school year, which is going to start very, very soon. But first, as we always do, let's tell you about this day as a minute, what it means at least to some people. 1521, Spanish conqueror Hernando Cortez captured Tenochtitlan, a present-day Mexico City, of course, what it's known as, from the Aztecs. So I'm pretty sure I butchered my Aztec pronunciation there. 1792, French revolutionaries arrested and imprisoned King Louis XVI. He'll be executed by guillotine in January. 1889, William Gray of Hartford, Connecticut, received a patent for the first coin-operated telephone. 1918, Opha Mae Johnson became the first woman to join the Marine Corps. 1952, Big Mama Thornton first recorded the song Hound Dog 4 years before Elvis Presley's famous version was released. 1961, on what would become known as Barbed Wire Sunday, East Germany sealed the border between Berlin's eastern and western sectors before building a wall that would divide the city for the next 28 years. 1969, New York City held a ticker tape parade for Apollo 11 astronauts Neil Armstrong, Edwin Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins. 1995, Baseball Hall of Famer Mickey Mantle died at a Dallas hospital of rapidly spreading liver cancer at the age of 63. 2011, seven people were killed when a stage collapsed at the Indiana State Fair during a powerful storm just before a concert was to begin. And in 2020, in an interview on Fox Business Network, President Donald Trump acknowledged he was starving the Postal Service of money in order to make it harder to process an expected surge of mail-in ballots. Days for today. It's World Calligraphy Day today, if that's your thing. Don't have many days today, by the way. It's also International Left-Handers Day today. And if you have a left-handed child, teach them to pitch. Because if they've got the arm to do it, they will have a high-paying job for at least a decade. Food and drink today. I'm not sure I know how to pronounce this. National Prosecco Day. This is Italian sparkling wine. We're getting very precise here. But as we always say on this sort of thing, celebrate responsibly. And also, and this is the one I prefer, I grilled some of these a week ago, National Filet Mignon Day today. Good steak, that'll work. On the grill. Problem is, it's 40-mile-per-hour winds, the grill's hard to keep going. And also, you need to be very careful if you're using it in the first place. Especially if you're using charcoal or wood, something like that. If you're like me, you use natural gas, you got to Just turn off the switch and you're okay. 8:09 in the morning, when we come back, we'll talk emergencies with Charles Young right after this.
Let Asset Advanced Security and Electrical Technology introduce you to the cloud. No, not that kind of cloud. Cloud-based security systems. Let's face it, we all know the term cloud and what it is, but the people at Asset will use it to your advantage. Cloud cameras, cloud access control, cloud intrusion alarms. How does this benefit you? It'll centralize data security, eliminate the need for on-premises infrastructure, make backup and recovery easier, and a whole lot more. Asset isn't a 1-800 number place that you call. They're a local company. They live here too. And if you need video surveillance, access control, fire alarms, you name it, Asset will help create it and install a security solution that's perfect for you, including cloud-based security. Asset, your local connection to the cloud. Just not that kind of cloud. To find out more, visit asetinc.com and stay local. Asset, advanced security and electrical technology.
Presenting Again Fling's love story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
You know the national parks. But you may not know that they're supported by a strong foundation. A foundation for the future. We are the National Park Foundation. And together with your support, we are building a bold future where national parks are vibrant, protected, and welcoming. Today, tomorrow, forever. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River. AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR. News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI. And GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
8:12 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. Charles Young, Hood River County Emergency Management's with us. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, thanks for coming on. Let's jump in, first of all, and talk about the reason why I invited you in the first place, which was we're going to talk a little bit about an event you've got coming up tomorrow evening, 5 to 8, up at Solera Brewing in Parkdale. And this is really tailored to the Upper Valley, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we try to tailor these sorts of events to the landscape where folks live. This one is really about homes that have trees around them, which around the Hood River Valley is not hard to find.
Yeah, you're not narrowing it down to the Upper Valley quite yet.
The reason that we're really concentrating on the Upper Valley is there's a lot of other work that's going on in the Upper Valley, and we really want to talk about that. And we also want to get ideas from people at these sorts of events about what else we could be doing.
Yeah, I chuckled there a little bit when you mentioned the trees, but the Upper Valley, there's some unique challenges that make it different than other parts of this region, isn't there, in terms of topography and how people would be able to get out.
That's true, yes. We have some really simple road sheds up in the Upper Valley, so there's not a lot of options when you're trying to get out. The other thing that's complicated about the Upper Valley is the land ownerships and the management. Mm-hmm. Wildfire doesn't respect political boundaries.
I noticed that.
And so it really, in the Upper Valley, it's so incredibly important to have collaborations between public and private ownerships of land.
Right.
And make sure that all of the work that's being done is very strategic and integrated. And there's a bunch of groups in the Upper Valley that are really working hard about that. And a lot of the work that we're doing up there is informed by people talking to us at these sorts of events. As you know, we just finished our Community Wildfire Protection Plan, and there are a number of actions in there that actually came out of the last version of this event up at Solera Brewing.
Well, I also think one of the things that makes this difficult is because we're talking about, you know, the Upper Valley natural areas are intensely tree populated. I mean, just, and that's part of the beauty of it, which is part of the reason why many of the people who live up there love to live up there is because of that. And I would think on occasion the best practices for homeowners and that desire to have the beauty can sometimes be at cross purposes.
It can, but it really depends on what you count as beauty.
Right. Sure. True. Yes.
There is certainly that sense that a beautiful forest is an incredibly dense forest with an enormous amount of undergrowth. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily the natural landscape that would have existed 200 years ago.
True. Yeah.
And so it's about trying to find a way of making a nice, healthy forest, mm-hmm. because a healthy forest is much more resilient against wildfire, and it's also incredibly gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It isn't this dense wall of vegetation. It's perhaps a little bit more open than people are expecting.
Mm-hmm. So what sort of work is being done up there? I mean, I know you're going to talk about this on Thursday evening at Solera, but kind of the condensed version of what's going on up there.
Yeah, there's a lot of integration between USFS, ODF, mm-hmm. And Green Diamond, which is a big landowner up in that kind of area. And that's integrated with a lot of the work that's being done right down to the community level. Mm-hmm. We've got a number of FireWise communities up there that are doing work. And NRCS, sorry, there's so many acronyms.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of government and quasi-government organizations, mm-hmm. that are doing integrated work and getting large amounts of money from, mm-hmm. from their federal and state government to do really big on-the-ground mm-hmm. landscape work to reduce fuels, to reduce the risk of wildfire crossing boundaries.
Yeah, you know, we talk money on this show and government all the time on this. With this program, the people I talk to, that federal and state level in particular, how are those financial sources right now?
It's a very complicated environment right at the moment.
Oh, sure.
Very complicated. the landscape does change quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Some of the grants that we've been going for, particularly the federal grants, the way that we would have to provide our local match has been changing a lot. Mm-hmm. Not able to predict whether or not we're going to get grants right at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, there's some grant funds that were allocated some time ago that we're still spending. So work mm-hmm. is still being done.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting ready for next rounds of grants that look like they're going to be coming mm-hmm. out.
So what do you emphasize right now with the funding that you get?
Really, at the moment, in my sphere, which mm-hmm. is really county, I'm really emphasizing the idea that communities down to the household can do a lot for wildfire preparedness. Mm-hmm. It's about home hardening. It's about defensible space. It's about organizing with your neighbors so that you've got a small or medium-sized area that is resilient against wildfire. Mm-hmm. And it's about preparedness. So as you mentioned, knowing how to evacuate, having an emergency go kit, making sure that you're signed up to the Hood River County Alert so that you know if you're being evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
So for the county, that's really our emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
And then for County Forest, which is a fairly significant mm-hmm. land manager for the county, that's really about trying to reduce the risk of wildfire moving mm-hmm. from one space to another.
Well, certainly in the case of the private landowner, Green Mountain, you mentioned, and all private landowners, and Hood River County, I mean, there's such incentive to make sure their forests are healthy because their money. If there's a forest fire on those, that's not just trees that are burning. Those are dollar bills going up in smoke.
Wait, yeah.
And that's amazing how that becomes an incentive, by the way, to make people move. I know one of the issues county officials have had is the Forest Service and whether or not they do enough to make this happen. Are we seeing a change, though, in that in recent, you know?
I think one of the things that the Forest Service is really concentrating on is forest health.
Yeah.
And that, again, is for mm-hmm. Green Diamond, for the county, right. It's really about forest health.
Mm-hmm.
How we achieve forest health, I think there has been some differences of opinion in the past. I think those are coming back together.
Mm-hmm.
I think the science is really showing us that a healthy forest is not an untouched forest.
No. And then there's the reality of people live there, and to be honest, there's more people who live out there now than used to. And I mean, and we could debate that for, you know, that it's not really part of our discussion, whether that's a good thing or not. But the reality is we have to be able to protect people.
We do. And don't forget also, mm-hmm. the forest is an incredibly important recreational space.
Absolutely.
And we as taxpayers have paid mm-hmm. for those recreational spaces. And we need to be able to allow people to recreate safely and to be able to evacuate them if something mm-hmm. does go wrong. But then there's the other side of that, which is the responsibility for recreators to recreate safely and not mm-hmm. cause wildfires.
Yeah, you mentioned evacuate safely, and I think about this for areas like the Upper Hood River Valley, where we just talked about is there's limited options for getting people out. And something I have had you know sheriff's offices tell me in these last couple of fires, not so much the Rowena fire because it went so quickly, but it, at times is difficult to get some people who have properties like we're talking about to leave when we get to that level 3 point, when it's imminent danger. How much do you try to talk to people about, hey, you know, this is why we do this and why it's important for people to leave when we hit that point?
It's a really complicated discussion to have because many people have the experience where we say this is a level 3 evacuation. Mm-hmm. You really need to go now. We're not going to force you out of your house.
Yeah, you can't. That's yeah.
But we really suggest that you leave now. Mm-hmm. They leave and then the fire doesn't come to their doorstep. And so their experience is, well, you people try and evacuate us and nothing happens.
See, I think my attitude would be, well, hey, thank goodness I dodged the bullet and happily go home.
I would hope that that's the experience. But, you know, we have this experience all the time where we told you to evacuate, but nothing happened.
Well, I guess where I get to is also, and what I hear a lot about is, you know, in these areas, again, where road options are limited, is people waiting, and really, frankly, not acting during level 2. And then you have the danger of something starts moving quickly and you go to level 3 and it's difficult for people to get out.
And this is really why we tend to, in areas that have a less complicated roadshed, so there's fewer options, we tend to evacuate earlier. Mm-hmm. Because it may be that the fire isn't close to your house, but it may be just that down the road the fire has just crossed that road that you would use to evacuate, and so you can't get out anymore. Yeah. You're in an island and who knows what the fire's going to do. And so, yeah, we do try to evacuate people thinking about how they're going to get out, not only where the fire is.
So, again, I want to get this one other subject here for a few minutes with you. Solera Brewing, 5 to 8 tomorrow. Free event. Give me some refreshments there.
There's going to be some refreshments. Yeah. There's a kids' activity space. Mm-hmm. Parkdale Fire is going to bring it down a fire engine, and it's going to be a good, fun night.
And you've got a lot of partners here, by the way, which I think you've outlined some. But
we do. I have more acronyms than you can poke a stick at. But pretty much everybody with a finger in this particular pie is going to be there. It's going to be a great event.
Mm-hmm. So 5 to 8 tomorrow evening for Upper Hood River Valley folks, Solera Brewing in Parkdale is where that's going to be. Let's talk a little bit about what we talked about yesterday with the County Commission Chair Jennifer Ewer and Administrator Allison Williams. It was a meeting with ODOT, the emergency officials, I think just Hood River County had. I don't know if anybody else was. I think some from Washington were involved.
That's correct. So we had ODOT, WashDOT, we had emergency managers from around the region, and a lot of other partners.
And we talked more about what the meeting kind of became to a point, which was ODOT telling people they had no money, which, okay, we'd already gotten that message. But let's talk a little bit about one of the issues at hand was, and we saw it during the Rowena fire, Hood River becoming basically Los Angeles in miniature, a gridlock. And we've seen this before during very major emergencies. The Mosier Oil Train fire comes right to mind. I don't know if you were around for that. And then the Rowena fire. And, I mean, stories of people needing 3 or 4 hours to be able to get, say, from Hood River to the Dalles, to get through the area. I guess I sit there and go, what can we do?
It is terribly difficult. We start with a very difficult topology. We start with the fact that we don't have a lot of the options for moving traffic around other than I-84. However, there are things that we can do. Mm-hmm. We had a very successful meeting on Monday about this, and it's really about trying to find small plans that we can layer together to try to reduce the impact on, mostly for the local folks that are actually just trying to go about their business and do things like get to hospitals, get to pick up their kids.
I think hospitals are one that really comes to mind.
Yeah, there was emergency management from Providence at that meeting.
Yeah,
what we can do, I think, is to try to find spaces within Hood River where we don't allow trucks, where we try to reduce traffic down to local traffic. It's not an easy problem to solve, and we won't solve it. The question is, can we do better?
Well, Annie, I mean, a part of the big issue we were talking about off the air is you know, Rowena fire is a prime example of a emergency that happens. We deal this with in the winter sometimes with weather, but we have an idea it's coming. You know, there's a lot of things you can do to prepare for it, and the motorist knows it. A fast-moving summertime emergency like this one, I mean, Rowena fire really, it was within about two, I mean, I remember 2.5 hours of just scrambling on air here doing things. And, you know, you can stop people at Troutdale, but the problem is there's already people from Troutdale. You've got 45 miles of I-84 traffic.
Yeah, and ODOT tells us it's about 30,000 cars every hour passing by.
Which is a startling amount when you stop and think about it. But I mean, that's the point, it almost comes down to how in the world do you bring that, do you control that even with good planning?
I don't think we can, obviously. Yeah. What we can do, though, is we have the ability to be able to control particular intersections and allow local traffic, not interstate traffic. But that's not going to solve the problem.
No.
With any luck, we can make it a little bit better, but it's not going to be solved. It's not going to solve the problem. And the replacement bridge is not going to solve that problem either.
Yeah, it'll help a little.
It will help.
But not. But you still have Highway 14 at the other side, and no trucks, an emergency. There's all sorts of things you can't do there.
That's correct, yeah.
But so is kind of the first priority making sure the route to the hospital, that there's an open route there?
It is certainly a priority.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of other priorities, such as being able to get emergency vehicles out from fire stations and to the incident. We are working pretty hard on trying to identify priority routes where there will be very limited other traffic available.
This gets approached two ways. Either number one, you set aside a route for this is the detour route that the people are trying to get through the area, and have that designated. Or number two, being you have local routes designated to address the issues that you just mentioned. I can almost see, and maybe it's a little bit of both here.
Yeah, that's really where the plans look like they're going. It's is to have multiple routes, and the other part of that is a big public education campaign when there's an event happening, so that people who don't need to travel know that there's gridlock downtown.
The problem with that is, it depends on the emergency. But I can tell you from as the person who does messaging, if you will. I told this to Allison and Jennifer on the show. I said, the problem with that is, especially in a fire where the evacuation levels were changing so quickly, the idea that traffic is going to be prioritized by any of us who are in this business is very, very remote in an emergency like that, because it's going to be about getting people out of the places they need to get out of.
Yeah, and I really appreciate your help in doing that. We do have a mechanism within the county, which is Hood River County Emergency Alerts.
Right.
And we can control that. Mm-hmm. So we don't rely on other people to do that. And there are 25,000 people signed up to that.
You know, I'm going to ask, and it'll sound self-serving, but it's not meant to be. How effective are those? Because I'm in, you know, especially the fire across the river, the Burdoin fire. A lot of the feedback from people is, I didn't get the messages, text me. And I think some of that, and I think my bet is a lot of it's not so much the system, it's about people change their cell phone numbers. People, or they don't have their phone with them, or whatever it might be. How effective are these? I mean, I'm starting to think maybe we need to get back thinking a little more mass messaging than the social media style.
It's a really interesting and complex question,
as
most of these things are. I do think it's very effective.
Yeah.
So we can reach out to individual people that have registered a particular address of interest. So that might be a workplace, it may be their home, it may be the school that their kids go to. So we can reach out to people who have registered a particular address and directly hit their email address, their phone number. We can do voice and text. We have a lot of ways to reach people. But as you say, people need to be signed up to the emergency alert system, and also that information has to be accurate. There is a third mechanism that we have access to, which I don't know was used in the Burdoin fire, which is called EAS.
Yes. Where you're hitting to my point here is how it doesn't get used around here.
We have really strict rules about how we can use it. Mm-hmm. It has to be a life safety issue. But if it is a life safety issue, we can blanket parts or all of the county. And unfortunately, it's a fairly blunt instrument. So
I will share how it works, because right over in the other room where Cameron is sitting right now, there is a machine called EA. It's an emergency alert system. People hear tests from this on a weekly basis on these stations. And you guys have the ability to be able to at any time, and we have it set up where, because, again, the nature of broadcasting today, much of it is automated, remote, etc., is you guys can fire that. It will go on over our regular programming, and you get out messages that way. It was used, I think, one time in the Rowena fire. And I don't believe it ever got used during the Rowena fire. Now, I'm good. We'll put a caveat on that. I was on vacation when it started. So I can't say for sure. I'd have to really go back and look at the records to see, which you keep records on these things, because the federal government lives on paperwork, as Charles, I'm sure, is very aware. but it has been a point of mine, is that it doesn't get used around here. And in situations like this, we still have a big audience. And the power of being able to get it on the airwaves is vital. I mean, we do also, when things like that happen, I'll use Rowena Fire as an example, because it happened while I was here. We're getting stuff on when it happens. But there is the ability to use that EAS system much better than it's being used here.
I agree, but the obverse to that is you are doing a great job of getting on and doing this sort of thing live, and that's much more helpful.
But again, small staff, the small staffs of today, which everybody's got, including counties, that everybody's involved there, it's a chance to be able, you've got the ability. Again, if there's nobody, there's times there's nobody in these buildings, and so I know Matt English has my cell phone, people like that have it, but it's there, and it probably needs to be utilized more.
I think
there's my soapbox.
I take your point. I think the other tool that we have is the phone themselves.
Yeah.
So we can override people's do not disturb. We can override. Yeah. We can do the Amber Alert style messaging, which again we will do if there is an immediate threat to life. And but again, we don't use that very much because it.
You do have to be judicious. If it needs to be in a life-threatening situation.
That's correct. Yeah.
Because if not, then you have the other problem, which is people just start to tune it out.
Yes.
Which it becomes very real when it's things that just don't involve them in some way.
And the other part is just because of the technology, it's a very broad instrument. So I might put in an alert for Hood River County, and it goes as far as Yakima, and it goes as far as California, and then everybody gets upset.
Yeah, well, and that's been the drawback of the Amber Alert.
Yes,
to it is been like we will get them for things in Everett, and it's like we want to air what's in the local area, but you start getting a little too far out, and then you get the tune out problem.
You do, and you get people actually physically turning it off from their phones.
Yeah.
And that's a real problem because, yes, it's true that the technology doesn't allow us to keep the footprint small, but when we do want to use it, we would really like to be able to reach people to let them know that there's a level 3 evacuation. They really need to move.
Yeah, absolutely.
Particularly with the wildfires moving as quickly as they do these days.
Again, Upper Hood River Valley Emergency Preparedness. 5 to 8 tomorrow, Solera Brewing. People can go take part.
And it looks like it's going to be a beautiful evening. It's
going to be a nice evening out there. Charles, thanks for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me on.
8:33 in the morning. We'll take a quick look at the news after this.
Warm days are back in the Gorge. Don't wait for the heat to spike before checking your AC. I'm Kimberly from A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Now is the perfect time for your AC maintenance. We offer exclusive memberships including HVAC, monitoring, generators, and plumbing to keep your whole home running smoothly year-round. Is your system ready for replacement? As a 2024 Highest Residential Participation Award winner from Energy Trust of Oregon, we'll help you maximize rebates and incentives to return your home to peak performance and keep cash in your pocket. Call us, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air.
I am Christine Douglas. I work here in patient services at Skyline Health. My main job is registration and answering any questions our patients have. I know when people are here, they're here because they're in pain and they need help. At Skyline, we treat every patient as an individual. I'm here to serve because these are my people, my friends, my kids, and my neighbors. I'm reminded every day of how lucky I am to work in such a close, caring, and beautiful community. I am Skyline.
What is your next success story? At University of Maryland Global Campus, you can succeed again. With more than 135 affordable online degrees and certificates to help you move your career forward. From cybersecurity and AI to healthcare and MBA, our programs help you build critical thinking, leadership, and communication skills that set you apart in today's job market. Apply now and save with no application fee through September 3rd. Visit umgc.edu to get started. Certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Back to school is on the brain. That means new notebooks, pencils, new everything. And while the kids are getting ready to get book smart, it's time for you to save smart with Straight Talk Wireless. Switch now and get a free Moto G 2025 with 5G when you activate select plans. Now that's a smart call. Get Straight Talk covered by Verizon's 5G network. Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Offer valid through 10/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Purchase of Gold Unlimited plan or higher required for offer. Must activate the plan in-store at Walmart. Cannot be combined with other offers.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
It is 8:35 in the morning of Mid-Columbia Today. We're running a bit behind here, so a quick look at news before we get to Darren Ryan from the River County Health Department. City of Hood River began the process of preparing for a bond measure in November of 2026. City Manager Abigail Elder presented councilors a timeline for exploring going to the voters with a bond proposal, starting with a presentation on the process of the panel's next meeting, September 8th. Elder says they'll have a special facilitated meeting September 29th to consider a potential project list for bond funding. John Braun, the top Republican in the Washington State Senate, it's going to run for Congress, trying to unseat Democratic Representative Marie Glusenkamp-Perez in the 3rd District that includes Skamania County. Braun's been State Senate Minority Leader since 2020. A new report from a child welfare expert and a ruling from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has set the stage for how Oregon must improve its foster care system in the wake of a massive lawsuit settled last year. Oregon will have to cut down the number of kids who are abused in foster care and make sure children in its care get quick referrals to medical and mental health care, and reduce the number of kids who come back to foster care after being reunited with relatives, among other improvements. Oregon's Department of Human Services is reining in how often the state miscalculates the amount of food stamps enrollees should receive, aiming to comply with the new federal restrictions and avert what could be the worst financial strain on the state's largest agency. Well, it's going to be sunny but hot today. Not as hot as it's been, though. Highs around 90. Really, the key thing to remember is west winds could gust to 40 miles per hour in the gorge today. Red flag warnings throughout the area. So when it comes to fire, boy, you got to be absolutely diligent on this. 76 degrees in the Dalles, 72 in Hood River right now. 8:37 in the morning. Darren Ryan coming up next.
Hi, it's Melissa at Del Carpian Automotive. You know how long 10 minutes is? It's how long it takes me to wrangle my dog into the car most days. Yep. It's also how close we are to our old location. We are now neighbors to adopt a dog. Just a quick drive up the hill. Same team, same top-notch service, and a bigger space to handle all makes and models. Have you been putting off getting the scheduled maintenance done on your vehicle? Come see us. At Del Carpian Automotive, no job is too big or too small. We work on them all, and we are family-owned and Columbia Gorge strong.
There is a free hazardous waste collection event for homes and small businesses in Wasco, Sherman, and Hood River County on the weekend of August 15th. Registration is due 1 week before drop-off for businesses and 24 hours before drop-off for homes. On the 15th, it will be at the Hood River Garbage on 3440 Ginyard Drive. On the 16th, it will be at the Dalles Disposal on 1317 West 1st Street. Go to tricounty.com for more information.
There's nothing quite like the feeling of helping a neighbor in need. Right now, many families in the Gorge are without reliable transportation, and you can help make a real difference. Bicoastal Media, CH Ernest Motors, and Gill's Point S Tire and Auto proudly present Wheels of Hope.
This September, one deserving local family will receive the keys to a 2015 Ford Focus. And it starts with your nomination. If you know a family that's fallen on hard times and needs a dependable vehicle, visit GorgeRadio.com to tell us their story. It only takes a few minutes, but it could change their life. Wheels of Hope is made possible by community partners who care. C.H. Ernest Motors, Gills, Point S Tire and Auto, Walmart of Hood River, Wagas, Skyline Hospital, A&C Equipment Repair, Sinclair, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air, Bimart, Cascade Farm and Outdoor, and Crestline Construction. Visit GorgeRadio.com today to nominate a family and be a part of Wheels of Hope, because together we drive change.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bicoastal Media Columbia River, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI, and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark.
It is 8:39 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. We're now joined on the telephone by Hood River County Health Department's Darren Ryan. Good morning, Darren.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. How are you doing today?
Great. It's nice to have a little bit of a break from the heat.
Yeah, but unfortunately, this wind makes it awful dangerous out there. It's red flag time.
Absolutely.
Again. You know, that's a concern. We just had Charles Young, in fact, on a moment ago here, emergency manager of River County,
great.
Talking about the event tomorrow evening, which I think you guys may be a part of.
Yeah, the fire awareness one, yes.
Yeah, it's Solera Brewing on for the Upper Valley folks, 5 to 8 tomorrow for that. I was just noting here, I flipped up to your Facebook page real quick. I think we've kind of known this, but the latest statistics out apparently about health rankings by county, I think this is Oregon Health Authority, and maybe it's CDC. Hood River County is healthier than the average county in Oregon, it appears.
We are. You know, I always take that with a grain of salt, of course, because my job, there's always something more to do to keep us healthier. But yes, we are often very pleased to see that we end up as one of the top counties across the state in terms of health outcomes. So this is a ranking that comes out every year, and it's really helpful for our work, just seeing if anything new pops up or really if there's been any changes. You know, we don't really compare ourselves to other counties. There's not a lot that are our size or have our specific demographics, but it's really cool to compare ourselves sort of over the years of what are our health trends, what's been changing, and if the things we're doing as a community are making an impact. So I'm sure you saw not only the rankings, but we also list, we like to share to the hospital data that we have access to, which can show us death outcomes as well. And that's another data point that we use to track health trends for our community.
Now you say death outcomes. Is this causes of death, basically?
Yeah.
Okay. Because
the outcome of death is
pretty much death. That last I checked.
Right. Yes. But we just listed on our social media as well. We like to share what we see for the top causes of death for our community, too. So those are just so your listeners hear that, you know, there's several different data points that we use to be able to direct our work. And really, you know, in my job as someone, I'm the public information officer. I handle our communications with a team. And it's really helpful for us to be able to identify, you know, where do we really need to put messaging in and what sort of campaigns are needed for the year so that people are more aware of how to keep themselves safe, healthy, and living long.
Now, the top five causes of death in Hood River County for 2021 to 2023 are listed as heart disease, cancer, stroke, Alzheimer's disease, unintended injuries like falls and accidents. I would think that's not that much different than other places.
You know, it's really not, especially we go even more granular as to look at what are sort of unintentional causes of death. So a lot of those that are on the list are things that, you know, we can do things about by being connected to medical care and screenings and healthy habits in life. But really the one we like to focus on the most is this like unintended injury, this unintended death category. Because of course that's heartbreaking to hear that a chunk of our, you know, one of our top five leading causes of death is something that's preventable. So that's why, you know, you'll see lots of pushes towards us working in the realm of harm reduction, you know, reducing deaths from opioid overdose, or, you know, outdoor safety messaging, drowning messaging, things like this. Like, we are really focused on how do we move the needle on that specific category that are these ones that we have an impact over. So that's something we try and really focus on, as I know people across the county do as well. But how do we keep people safe when they're hiking outside? Or, you know, what's a really pertinent one right now is heat illness. Yeah. How do we keep people safe from these things that are really preventable? Drinking and driving is a great example as well. We have a lot of car crashes here in our community, some resulting from drinking and driving as well. So how do we impact decisions that are being made, or have people have more information so that they can be making healthier choices?
Thing I noted also on this was apparently it's a high number of people under age 65 don't have health insurance. It's not really surprising, I guess, per se. We hear about this. We know that in healthcare and the high cost and the high cost of health insurance, if you don't have employer provided healthcare insurance, it's astonishing how much it costs. And that's been something you guys have worked on for a while. Are you making a dent there?
Well, you know, the landscape keeps changing, Mark, as you can expect. So, for example, the Oregon Health Plan, our state-run Medicaid system, has a, you know, blanket of who is eligible for that system, and that continues to change based on federal funding or federal cuts. And so I think maybe, you know, for a long time we have an Oregon Health Plan assister in our office. Mm-hmm. So that's somebody that can help people get onto the Oregon Health Plan, which is a great plug. If anybody's curious mm-hmm. or doesn't have medical care, please come into the health department. We have Raul who can help get people signed up. But there is going to be eligibility changes to that program. And so I'll be curious to see, you know, the health department, as we consider ourselves a catchment clinic. So that means we're really there to be there for somebody who has difficulty or barriers accessing other medical care. So I'll be curious to see that as the fluctuations in eligibility for that health plan change, might we get busier because our services tend to be lower cost than other clinics, whether locally or statewide. So I'm really hoping people know that they can still come to us, and we have programs that can help pay for services for people who don't have insurance. One example I think we talked about last time when our nurse practitioner, Lisa Tedfer, was on is we have a reproductive health program that we receive money as a health department to be able to provide services free or low cost to people who don't have health insurance. So there's programs like that set up that allow us versus other private medical clinics in town to really have expansive services for people who don't have health insurance. I actually did just read this morning a recent news report that 1 in 7 Oregonians right now are delaying medical care over the cost, which is really, you know, it's really hard to hear because, as we just spoke about, touching back to like leading causes of death and these county health rankings and things, like we can't help individuals if they're not connected to care necessarily. So that's a really big push for us, is how do we get people to either go and identify a primary care provider or come to us at the health department if they're in between insurances or underinsured, so that we can make sure they're getting the care that they need.
Moving on to something else here in the last 4 or 5 minutes we have left, and that is the start of the school year coming up a lot sooner than a lot of kids want to know about. And
yes.
but it's going to occur, and that of course also means, though, for parents, we talk about this every year, immunizations and getting your kids up to date.
Yeah, so this is a really big shift of focus for us at the health department. August and September become pretty busy months, so we're sending our outreach team to local community events. For example, we were at the Latino celebration over the weekend. We'll be going to Families in the Park over the next several weeks. And then we'll be really focusing on these back-to-school events at all of the local schools, some of which we'll be offering immunizations at. That's a really, really wonderful chance for us to meet families where they're at, where they're already going to these like registration days kind of thing. so that we can make it as easy as possible that if, hey, if your kiddo's missing this one vaccine, let's get it, go ahead and get it done. Mm-hmm. But as you've noted, you know, every August and September is a real big push for us for back to school because it's a lot easier to get kids and families prepared with all the vaccinations they need going into the school year rather than the scramble that often happens in February, as we always talk about when this exclusion day comes up and it's really, you know, feet to the fire needing to have these vaccinations to be able to remain in school. So we'd love for people to come by the health department. I have an incredible team there who can not only look up what vaccinations you're due for, they can also load in out-of-state vaccinations if you've recently moved here or if you were traveling and your kids got vaccinated somewhere else. So we're really invested in just making sure everyone's got a complete profile on our Oregon state system so that schools don't have to worry, you know, when it comes time to check who's due. Everybody is up to date. Also, just on this note, I know we've talked about a lot of, you know, illnesses that are still circulating, one of which we've talked a bit about, which is pertussis, known as whooping cough. So we're still seeing trends of that currently, and that is a vaccination that kids are required to have. So anything we can do to make that push would be incredibly helpful.
How are things going on? This got a lot of play on the media, the measles front. How are things going there?
You know, I'm really happy to say that we don't have any local or regional cases. I think you probably saw in the news, as everybody did, that Oregon did have a case. I believe it was about a month ago. But luckily, we haven't seen it spread to our community or in our neighboring communities. We are prepped and ready, though. I think I mentioned to you we did a full half-day staff retreat to just train up on measles sort of frequently asked questions and how to do case investigation and contact tracing and making sure we have all the documents and resources that we need to respond in the event that a case does come to our community. But we're keeping a really, really close eye on it, as I know all health clinics across the state are, because it would be a big, big lift if we see it here. And it's not a fun disease to have nor to have spread through the community.
Our guest has been Darren Ryan, Hood River County Health Department. Darren, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Mark. You take care.
Take care. It's 8:50 in the morning on MCT. We will come back and tell you a couple things going on in the area right after this.
Hi there. I'm Sunny with Sky Heating, AC, Plumbing, and Electrical. Warmer weather is here. Let Sky take care of your HVAC, plumbing, and electrical needs so you can focus on what matters most. Right now, we're offering a free service call with any repair so you can keep a little extra in your pocket. Visit skyheating.com today to learn more. Oregon CCV number 245538. Washington license SKYHEHA 870L6.
What is your next success story? At University of Maryland Global Campus, you can succeed again. With more than 135 affordable online degrees and certificates to help you move your career forward. From cybersecurity and AI to healthcare and MBA, our programs help you build critical thinking, leadership, and communication skills that set you apart in today's job market. Apply now and save with no application fee through September 3rd. Visit umgc.edu to get started. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
Back to school is on the brain. That means new notebooks, pencils, new everything. And while the kids are getting ready to get book smart, it's time for you to save smart with Straight Talk Wireless. Switch now and get a free Moto G 2025 with 5G when you activate select plans. Now that's a smart call. Get Straight Talk covered by Verizon's 5G network. Available at straighttalk.com and Walmart. Offer valid through 10/19/25. Taxes and fees apply. Purchase of Gold unlimited plan or higher required for offer. Must activate the plan in-store at Walmart. Cannot be combined with other offers.
The best words to hear at the TSA security checkpoint? You're good to go. All it takes is a little preparation. Get to the airport early. Bring a carry-on bag that fits in the overhead. And have an acceptable ID. Not all state-issued IDs will cut it. Check out tsa.gov/ID and see which TSA acceptable IDs make the grade, like a real ID or passport.
Before you jet, do a little prep, and you're good to go. Check out tsa.gov/ID or the MyTSA app.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
8:53 in the morning. I'm in Columbia today. A couple things going on in the area today. Reptile Man is going to be at Parkdale Library at 3 today and at 5:30, Hood River Middle School Gymnasium. Interactive show with live animals presented by the Hood River County Library District. Another Wednesday night with music and magic in City Park in the Dalles. This evening at 6, it's going to be Didgeridoo Down Under performing. Also today in Stevenson, Skamania County Fair and Timber Carnival is getting underway. Again, they've got such a beautiful location on the Columbia River. You can just go and enjoy that. But they've got all the great fair activities as well. And that's at Skamania County Fairgrounds in Stevenson today through Saturday. Wasco County Fair and Rodeo tomorrow through Sunday in Tie Valley. And the Klickitat County Fair and Rodeo Thursday through Sunday in Goldendale. And get ready for those, wascocounty.org or clickattackcountyfair.com, depending on which one you're thinking about. Also, guitarist and poet Hiroya Tsukamoto is in concert this evening, 7:30, Columbia Center for the Arts in Hood River. Tickets are $20. They are available at columbiaarts.org. And we also should mention Families in the Park free concert tomorrow evening at Jackson Park in Hood River, 7 o'clock. Presented every Thursday in August by Hood River Lions Club and the Gorge Community Foundation. And this Thursday evening, it is the Red Light Romeos playing 70s music. And we'll also mention one more thing before we take the final break. Tri-County Hazardous Waste Collection event for households and small businesses in Wasco, Sherman, and Hood River counties. Friday. Friday, 9 to 2, Hood River Garbage. Saturday, 9 to 2, the Dalles Disposal. I say tomorrow because registration is required 24 hours before the event for households. So you need to register by tomorrow if you want to go to the one in Hood River County. TriCountyRecycle.com. They'll tell you everything you need to know. That's TriCountyRecycle.com. It is now 8:55 in the morning. We'll come back and tell you what's coming up tomorrow after this.
Summertime brings a variety of delicious fresh fruits, and Casa El Mirador turns them into fabulous margaritas. Bring your friends and dine outside on their patio and order a margarita or two, and experience why they were voted the best margarita in the Gorge for 3 years running. At Casa El Mirador, we use only the finest and freshest ingredients available for our extensive menu, ensuring every bite is a Mexican delight. Casa El Mirador, open every day 11 to 9 at 2nd and Weber in the Dalles. See their menu and order online at casaelmirador.com.
Get ready for 4 unforgettable days of tradition and fun at the Wasco County Fair and Rodeo, August 14th through the 17th at Wasco County Fairgrounds in Tie Valley, just north of Maupin. And don't miss the NPRA Rodeo with new arena fencing, plus live music after the rodeo. Admission is just $15 for adults, $10 for kids 6 to 12, and free for kids under 5. Multi-day passes available? Grab your tickets now at wascocountyfair.com. That's wascocountyfair.com.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on the Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, AM 1340 and 98.3 FM KIHR, and News Radio 1300 and 103.9 KACI.
Mid-Columbia Today is brought to you by GorgeNet, Gorge Recovery Service, and Skyline Hospital. 8:56 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. And tomorrow on this show, Robert Jamak's going to join us, Mid-Columbia Football Official Association. And we'll talk about they need officials again. And many youth sports do. We should know many high school sports do. So we talk about this specifically with football, but there are all sorts of sports that need officials. So this conversation kind of crosses over. And then we will talk Providence Hood River. We're going to talk about emergency management with them. Megan O'Connell, the manager for emergency preparedness at Providence, Oregon, and Providence Hood River Emergency Department nurse manager Tiffany Anderson. And remember, they had a drill a couple of weeks ago, a mass casualty drill at Jackson Park in Hood River. We'll talk about how that went, among other things. On Friday on this show, Lily Von Mosch is going to join us from the White Salmon Valley Metropolitan Pool District, or Park, I think actually it's called Park District, but it's for their swimming pool. They're trying to remember they had shut down the one in the park a few years ago there, Ryan Garten Park. Well, they're still working to try to get things going for a new pool there, and they got some money now from the state of Washington. That's going to be a big help to them, so we'll talk about where they're at. Marty Dane's going to join us in the second half of the show on Friday, so plenty coming up on MCT. In fact, if I look ahead to Monday on the show. We'll talk Port of Hood River and the Dalles Area Chamber of Commerce. Tuesday, Hood River County School District. We'll talk to Bill Newton, their superintendent, days before the school year starts. And we'll talk to the mayor of White Salmon, Marla Keevler. Next Wednesday, White Salmon Valley School District Superintendent Rich Polkinghorne. So we got a busy few days on the Mid-Columbia Today program as we begin to wind things down for the month of August. And I will be gone the week of August 25th, by the way. So I'm counting down to that, obviously. But got a lot more to do before I can head on out. So we will take our leave for this morning. I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
The Mid-Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bicoastal Media Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 888-786-1511. Thanks for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.
How's Tommy doing now?
Much better.